Item two is to review amend agenda. There's two things that were added to it from when it was published. One was moving the conversation about FSAC from a status to the any other business because it really wasn't a status. And the other thing, there was an added discussion of RTP, denial of reasons, PDP board recommendation, an amendment that's being proposed by Olaf. We would need to put it in motion ourselves based on a comment received. Now, at the moment, I have that in any other business at the end of the meeting. Now, also, that hasn't been in play long enough, and as it was only put up 2 days ago, so we don't have the week on voting for it. However, Olaf has made a special request that we consider voting on it before the board makes its decision on a PDP so that they can consider both what we did and what we did before that. So what I'd like to do is at least move the discussion of that to the beginning of the meeting, in other words, to right after approving the minutes, and not presuppose whether we're taking a vote on it or not. That we need to do in that part. But does anybody have any objection to moving that moving that up to the front of the meeting?
No.
Okay, then I will move that up to the front. Any other changes or comments on the agenda? Okay. Actually, there is one other mention. There was a mention of approving the minutes for 25th September. Those aren't ready for approval yet, so we'll only be doing the approval for 4 September. Any comments on those minutes? Do I have a motion to approve them?
Chuck will.
Chuck, thank you. Do I have a second to approve them?
I will.
Okay, thanks. Any further discussion before I ask for a vote on them? Okay, all those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed to accepting them? Any abstentions?
I should abstain. I think every aye didn't attend that call.
Okay, thank you. The minutes have passed with one abstention, otherwise unanimous. Okay, now moving on to what had been in any other business, the RTP, denial reasons PDP. There is a motion that was written by Olaf and actually has been moved by Chuck, and I actually said that I would second it, so it can be seconded by me. And Olaf, would you like to speak to this?
With pleasure, Avery. Thank you. Following the 4th of September council meeting, the outcome of the PDP regarding the denial reasons was basically that we had two proposals for changed texts for denial reason 8 and 9. And the whole outcome was put up, which is a normal procedure, for another public comment round before being presented to the board. And in that process, we received one comment that really demonstrated that one of the provisions, the denial reason 9, and a few part of the wording of that one could be misinterpreted. So I brought that back to the council and also to the drafting group members for their consideration, and it followed a number of comments saying that, yeah, well, that's not the intention. I wouldn't be that far.
Somebody's got a weird noise in the background. They should mute.
Okay. Do I need to repeat anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Now, so that it seemed from the discussion on the list that there was support for deleting those particular words which are for transfer to the register of record, making denial reason 9 a bit shorter as well. So that's really why it would be useful to have the council's view on this before it's put forward to the board, which is then planned to take place at the Cairo meeting.
Okay, I have a question in that in the motion, the one, the text currently reads, and I didn't go back to it, seems longer than the amended to read.
Yeah, I think that Olaf doesn't the current number one there in the motion doesn't that's referring to the current policy? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay,
meant
we're
to replace what was resolved under number the previous.
I understand. Okay.
I was confused the same way, and I finally figured that out. Yeah.
So now I thought it was better to write it this way. That denial reason 9, which the current policy text has.
Understood. Okay, does anyone have any questions or discussion on this? And there was some discussion on the list and in the drafting team. Is there any other discussion now? Is there any objection to taking a vote on this? Let me explain what I think needs to be done as a vote. I believe since it's amending a PDP, we have to follow the PDP rules and do a roll call on it so that we have all the names listed as we've done in the past and we have an accurate count of supermajorities, et cetera. I think also following the PDP rules, we need to allow for any absentee ballot. At this point, and Olaf, I'll need your advice on this, I think that I can invoke the 24-hour rule so that we can have this vote hopefully completed in time for the board. A, does that still work? Because I don't know when the board's meeting is.
It does work, and it would be immensely helpful.
Okay, so even with the 24-hour rule, we still have time to close it in time for the board?
Yes.
Okay, great. So is there any objection to, I asked the question again, but any objection to taking the vote on the basis that I just discussed? And I say I'm listing myself as second because I said I'd second, but then I didn't add myself because I was confused and wanted to ask a question. Okay, if there's no objection to taking the vote at this time, Glenn, could you call the roll on it?
Yes, certainly. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Zahid Jamil?
Yes.
Uta Deka?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris isn't on the line. Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Norbert Klein isn't on the line. Carlos Souza?
Yes.
Adrian Kinderis?
Yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Edmund Chun?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
That means that it is unanimous and there are 18 votes in favor.
Okay.
This is without the absentee voting, and that will go out immediately after the call.
Right, on the 24-hour basis. Okay, thank you. Then I'll move on to the agenda in regular order at this point, which puts the next topic as the discussion decision on the GNSO response concerning geo-regions. We had some discussion on it before a design team report. So at this point, we were going to start with constituency feedback. We had the topic open of citizenship or domicile, not domile. And then we have a motion that has been put forward by Olga Cavelli and seconded by Tim Ruiz and Chuck Gomes. So, constituency feedback? Who would like to start on that? I can take a list. Or we can just go through constituency by constituency. How would people prefer? Why don't we go through it constituency by constituency and someone can speak? So I guess the first constituency alphabetically would be business constituency. I don't have them written in front, but...
Thanks. The constituency was fine with adopting the report.
Okay, so no other comment. Okay. Okay, going to the ISP constituency?
Yes, I think we're in the same position as well, so adopt.
Okay, so no new comments, no new, okay. The IPSP? Someone want to speak from it from the ISP? Come back to that. NCC, any constituency comments to bring up?
We're ready to adopt.
Okay,
hello.
Thank you.
Same for me.
Okay, thank you. The registrar constituency.
We know the comment and we're ready to adopt.
Okay, thank you. Registry constituency.
Yes, we're fine with it the way it is, but we did have some discussion on the idea of principle number 4, where it's measured by citizenship, and some of the registries thought it'd be helpful to have that the group, if and when it's formed, get some advice from council in terms of how domicile and citizenship could be used together and whether that's applicable here, et cetera. So it doesn't have to change this, but whoever our reps are on this community-wide working group, if and when it's formed, we think that that would be a good thing to check out a little bit further.
Okay, thank you. So you're fine with, you don't feel an amendment of the thing is that just basically you want to make a note that you want further consideration of that when the group happens.
Yeah, we think that would be a good idea to do for the community-wide working group.
Okay, great. Okay, the ISP? Okay, I'll assume no comment. Open up the list before actually calling for the motion to see if anybody has any other comments they'd like to make on it from their individual council perspective, councilor perspective. No other comments? Okay, then we have a motion. Olga, would you like to read your motion?
Yes. Give me 1 second that I open it. Oh, sorry, it's my phone.
Oh, you're the one with the lovely mouth.
Yeah, it's my phone. Sorry. Should I read it from the beginning? Whereas in its meeting on 2nd November 2007, each item board approved the resolution 0792 requesting that the ICANN community, including the GNSO, CGNSO, ASO, GAC, and ALAC, provide ICANN staff with input on the CGNSO Council's resolution relating to ICANN's geographic regions. In an email to the GNSO Council dated 15 July 2008, Denise Michel requested the GNSO provide input, if any, on the suggested formation of a community-wide working group and its mandate. In its meeting on 17 July 2008, the GNSO Council agreed to form a drafting team in response to the ICANN board request on ICANN geographic regions. The drafting team submitted its recommendations for GNSO comments to the GNSO Council on 26 July 2008. In the 4th September Council meeting, Council representatives were asked to forward the recommendations to their respective constituencies for discussion and comment as applicable and be prepared to finalize the GNSO comments in the Council meeting on 25th September 2008. The Council reviewed and modified the proposed GNSO comments in its meeting on 16 October 2008. Resolved, the GNSO Council approved the proposed GNSO comments as amended. The Council Chair is asked to submit the GNSO comments to the Board.
Just one comment, Avery. I think it was worded with the as amended in case there were any amendments.
Right, I was thinking of that. So should I remove the council reviewed the comments in its meeting?
Don't remove. You don't need to.
Remove the and modify the proposed GNSO comment.
Right, and then in the first bullet of the resolve, get rid of as amended.
GNSO Council approves the proposed GNSO comments.
Period.
Tony Harrison.
Hello, yes, Tony. Go ahead. Oh, you're just saying you got here. Yes, sorry, I thought you wanted.
I'm sorry. I'm late. Traffic held me up.
Okay, so I've made those two changes. Let me save it so people can see it. if they want to. Any further discussion or comments on this before I ask for a vote? Saving is taking me a long time. On this vote, is there any objection to taking a voice vote of ayes and nays? Okay, good. There's no objection. So any further comments on this before I call for the vote? Hearing none. Okay, all those in favor of accepting the geographic region motion as read and as amended, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, it is passed unanimously. Thank you. Next item. Yes.
Avery, this is Norbert. I just wanted to say I'm now also on. I had this
okay, fantastic.
At 7 o'clock.
Glad to have you here. Thank you. Okay, going to the agenda now. We're on item 5, which is a discussion decision on a CCNSO liaison, and I'll speak to this one briefly, and have put in a motion that needs a second still. Basically, we've been talking about this for a long time. We originally mentioned to Chris and to the CCNSO, hey, how would you like to do a liaison in a relatively informal sense? We talked about it in our open meeting in Paris. The CCNSO has talked about it and basically followed the sort of formal procedure, sent a note to us suggesting exchanging liaison. And so this is basically to get approval from this group for me to send back a response saying, yes, we are interested in it. And I included in the resolution basically the body of the mail that I would send, obviously, and sign it, et cetera. So that's sort of the background on it. I can read the motion, unless there's some comment before I do read the motion. And then what I was proposing we do, assuming we approve the motion, is that then we just start to, at least a brief discussion and figure out how it is we want to pick this liaison. And I'll get to that after we've gone through the motion and made a decision one way or another. So I just
Philip with a question.
Okay, certainly. Go ahead.
As part of the phrasing, we're saying that the liaisons will not be considered members or entitled to vote on the respective council, which is fine, and we say that otherwise should be entitled to participate on equal footing with members of the council. In making that wording, do we consider any implications for the existing restricted travel policy? And is there any intent to incorporate liaisons within the scope of our travel policy?
Okay, I think, first of all, in terms of the wording, I parroted the wording of on an equal footing that was in their invitation letter. So that's where I came up with the wording, to be honest. In terms of the liaisons, we've pretty much gotten, I think, in the last notification from the COO, Doug, that... liaisons were to be funded by their sending organization. So that's sort of an exclusion. I mean, it's not part of that. I don't know that we need something specific to say that. I mean,
that would mean that we would not be looking at funding the CC person.
But we might have to fund our person going
our to their meetings.
Yes. So if we want to send our liaison, and one of the questions that I'm bringing up is, you know, and in fact Chuck and I have opposite views on this one, whether the liaison needs to be a council member or the liaison can be other than a council member. And I think we can talk about that once we've decided yes or no to doing the liaison. And, of course, that would maybe make a difference in funding or not. I don't know. But, yes, we are not responsible for them sending us a liaison. We are responsible for sending our liaison one way or another. to any other discussion before I read the motion? And by the way, if I have a second on it, please let me know.
Every advisor, I second the motion.
Who's, I didn't catch.
Adrian.
Oh, okay, thank you, sorry. Thank you very much. Okay. Whereas the GNSO has decided in the past on its interest in exchanging a liaison with the CCNSO and has communicated this interest to the chair of the CCNSO. One has to spell chair completely. Initial discussions were held in Paris during the joint meeting between the GNSO and the CCNSO on the exchange of liaisons between the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council. GNSO in earlier discussions had approved the idea and principle of exchanging liaison. The chair of the CCNSO sent a formal note, reference to the note, to the GNSO chair indicating that the CCNSO Council was interested in an exchange of observers. Resolved, the chair of the GNSO sent the following to the chair of the CCNSO. Dear Chris, on behalf of the GNSO Council, I thank you for your note on behalf of the CCNSO Council regarding the exchange of observers. The GNSO Council reiterates its interest in the cooperation on issues of mutual interest and in the ongoing exchange of information between the GNSO and the CCNSO. The GNSO Council is in agreement with an exchange of observers on the basis you proposed. Specifically, both the GNSO observer to the CCNSO Council and the CCNSO observer to the GNSO Council shall not be considered a member of or entitled to vote on the Council, but otherwise shall be entitled to participate on equal footing with members of the Council. Close quote. The GNSO Council will select a representative shortly and welcomes the participation of the representative to be selected by the CCNSO Council. I will notify you and the CCNSO Secretariat once the GNSO Council has completed its selection process. Best regards. That's the end of the motion. I did correct the spelling of interest, chair, and in the first bullet, and the in the second bullet while I was reading, and principal in the third bullet, and liaison in the third bullet. So I corrected my spelling while going through it. Any further discussion on this motion? Any objection to taking a voice vote on this one of ayes and nays? Okay, hearing no objection to that. All those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to this motion, please say nay.
Nay.
Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. It passed unanimously. Because of the echo, whenever I say, did anyone say nay, I hear a slight one, which is neat. Which is very strange. So in case that echo is on the phone call, that is just me being echoed. Okay, now going on to the second topic in that was the basically how do we go about picking our liaison. And so basically there was an issue of criteria. One of the discussions that came up between Chuck and I, and I'll just lay it out and then Chuck can fill in further, is I tend to believe that this liaison from the council need to be members of the council, people participating in the council meetings who basically are sort of aware of what's being discussed, where we're going, even before we've gone out to comment and constituency review, and who are available to basically bring that liaison content in at every meeting without needing to make special arrangements. On the other hand, I think Chuck is taking the view that with the reorganization and the philosophy basically of spreading the work out further to more people, that limiting ourselves to council members for liaisons is kind of more like the old style than the new direction we're going into, so that we should consider a wider group. So that was one topic. In terms of the choosing, we basically have two standard methods of choosing someone, which is basically we take a quick roll call vote in the council, whether we have one candidate or many candidates, or we use the formal voting process when we feel there's a need for confidentiality and such. So those are two decisions that I think we need to make is, a council member or a broader member of the GNSO community, and an open vote in meeting, or a full voting procedure. I open the floor. Who would like to speak? First of all, do you want to clarify what I said?
Sure. You want to go ahead and take a queue of others?
I'll take the queue. Who else would like to speak?
Okay.
Tim, anyone else?
Philip,
anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, and first of all, let me clarify that I absolutely think that our liaison would need to be well experienced in the GNSO. So I don't think somebody that's not experienced, that's not a council member, would work. But my first thinking on this is that there will be times of conflict between CCNSO and GNSO meetings, and that is especially common during the in-person meetings. And so that's why it seems to me it might be helpful to consider people who are not on the council, as long as those people have had some strong experience working on the council in the past and are known to stay current with what's going on. As far as someone who's not on the council being knowledgeable, I think there's a couple ways of handling that. One of them is we could allow that person to be an observer in our meetings, and or of course we have the MP3 recordings and the chair, vice chair, in the future vice chairs could also be used as resources for that person if there are questions and so forth, as well as other people within the council. And by the way, let me say, I'm not hard line on this. I just lean a little bit towards more flexibility in it not being a counselor, as long as we can identify someone who is well experienced and knowledgeable about the GNSO council.
Okay. Thank you. Tim?
Yeah, I guess that kind of answered a couple questions. I don't see a problem with someone not on currently on the council, as long as it would be someone who has experience on the council and has since then stayed involved in heavily in ICANN's processes and the issues that have been going on. And that as long as we're not saying one or the other, that if there is someone on the council who's, you know, very interested in serving in that role, that, you know, that would have precedence over someone not on the council. And then just a question, do we have a sense of what the CCNSO expects? Are they expecting a council member? Do we not know, or should that be something we inquire about?
I don't think, just to quickly answer, that we have no talking, no discussion about it. I don't think it really matters, but I could check. It's sort of a liaison between the two councils, but nonetheless, we did not talk about it. And my guess would be that it wouldn't really be that much of a concern. But I haven't checked. Okay, thank you. Yeah?
How many notes do you know about that? I mean, it is very
clear. I have Philip. I'll put Norbert. I'll put you on the list.
Sorry.
I've got Philip next, and I'll put you on the list, Norbert. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Aubrey. I mean, to some extent, a liaison is an ambassador, you know, in both directions. I think, therefore, the key to the efficiency of the role is intense understanding of the body that they are representing. And therefore, I do have some concern about looking outside of council for that role. You want me to be an effective liaison so that when a difficult question is asked on in this case, a CCNSO, that person can say, yeah, we talked about it last week, the view is so-and-so, not, oh, I don't know, I'll go back and check. And if we're looking at a method of getting such a person who may be outside council up to scratch by saying, they should be on council as well as observers, you know, and therefore maybe talking and asking questions. It strikes me as going a bit in a strange direction, in that council will then comprise not only of elected councillors, not only the people who are liaisons to council, but the people who are liaisons from council. And it strikes me that we end up, instead of being a tight decision-making body, we end up being a sort of preliminary meeting each time. So I think we need to take those in consideration when we look at who we would like in this role. I prefer somebody who can speak with authority and is intimately knowledgeable about our deliberations.
Okay, thank you. Norbert?
Yeah, what I wanted to say is very similar to what Philip just said. I mean, the question of being a delegate also from the council, and I think if the person is not a member of the council, not only the regular message from our side, but also the feedback process may become quite difficult. And I think the whole purpose of having this mutual representation is really to strengthen communication and not just a kind of formalistic representation.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak on it at the moment?
If I
recap what I hear, I mean, Chuck, you've spoken quite well on reasons for reaching out. I think in listening to Tim, and Tim, correct me if I simplify this too much, that basically you felt that if there is someone in the council that wants to do it, well, then that should probably be the preference, but we should allow ourselves to reach out if we can't find anyone in the council that wants to do it. Is that
correct?
Fair recap. Okay.
Aubrey,
so,
have a question?
Yes.
What would be our plan of attack when there are direct conflicts of view?
Okay. Yeah, that happens pretty much all of the time, and there are just sort of meetings that liaisons either miss in their, and that would only happen at the face-to-face by and large. I mean, we'll be careful in terms of, you know, looking at scheduling a phone meeting so that we're not running a conflict there. So this is something that would only happen with some meetings at the face-to-face meeting, which has been handled, you know, has been handled by Alan all the time. Sometimes he's with us when the issue is critical with us, and sometimes he's with, you know, ALAC or the executive committee of ALAC, which he's with. And I think that, you know, that person would have that same, sort of like Edmund had when he was doing the IDNC. And sometimes if the IDNC was doing something that was of critical interest, because the person knows what's on their agenda, knows what's important to the GNSL, and when they're just talking about something that's just important to them, of interest but not critical. And it becomes a decision that the liaison person makes, and then we and future chairs and vice chairs help them in terms of backfilling whatever they may have missed. There's always recordings, et cetera. So,
Aubrey, this is Tim.
Yes, Tim.
I was just going to point out, too, that now with the proxy voting, that'll help lessen the impact of someone having to miss a GNSO meeting, because they'll still be able to weigh in on like vital policy issues. You know, they won't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, and another thing that happens, and I mean, Edmund and some other people did this too, is we have a Skype running in the background, and if there's something that's really critical to that person and the thing, you say, hey, you know, we're going into this, you know, if you can get away. So there's always that kind of immediate flexibility if we need it.
If Aubrey, we were to follow Tim's suggestion, would it make sense for us, first of all, to identify if there are any counselors who would be willing to serve in this role? Not necessarily in this meeting, but...
Right. I would actually, what I'd like to do is sort of go on, unless there's other people that really want to speak strongly to doing an initial outreach, I kind of like to move forward with the notion that we're going to see if we can find candidates from within the GNSO, but I think first I wanted to deal with the issue of how we would elect, because that how we would elect is really the same whether outreaching or not. In other words, now there's one possibility that we have just one person that wants to do it, and it's easy to all say, we want that one person to do it. And it wouldn't surprise me if we had at least one. Or do we want a secret ballot? So does anybody want to speak on the notion of how we select? Somebody needs a cough drop, too.
Me.
Sorry to hear that. So does anyone want to speak any preference on whether we do voice vote in meeting or follow the formal voting process?
My suggestion, Aubrey, would be if there is more than one volunteer for this, that we do a secret ballot.
I sort of accept that in principle. I have one issue with it, which is as soon as one person volunteers, if we've made that kind of a priority thing, that may stop a second person from saying, hey. So it becomes a race for who can speak quickest. But if everyone is fine with it, knowing that that's the issue, I'm fine going that way. Any other comments? No, okay, so following that suggestion, do we have anyone, you know, that is interested in being considered for that role? Or do people want to send email later about their interest in that role? Okay, I hear complete deafening silence.
It would seem to be useful to know the time commitment before. So perhaps just we could ask staff to give us a one-paragraph email explaining the likely time commitment, and then people can make a decision.
That sounds to me like a good recommendation, that if someone from staff could come up with. I've been making the assumption that it's kind of 2x. That whatever you do with GNSO, you're probably doing twice as much. Someone else wanted to speak, and I missed who.
So this was Tim, and I was just going to make pretty much the same suggestion. So.
Okay, is there someone on staff that's willing to sort of undertake that, or perhaps talk to Gabby, Glenn, and get kind of a indication of what kind of commitment we're talking about?
It's Liz. I'm happy to...
Liz, okay. And if somebody could do that, and then basically I ask people that are interested in that role to send me a note, and then and that way we sort of get over the barrier of people don't want to say it in public in case somebody else wanted to say it, and we're all being very polite and waiting for the other person to go first. So, and then I can let the group know whether there's one or more people, and we can continue the discussion on the list. I'd really like to be able to get somebody in place before Cairo, if possible, which means we would do then, if there's only one person, then we can sort of do a quick email, yes, that's okay. But if there's more than one person, then we need to do the formal ballot. Does that, as adding that to the continuation of the process, is there any objection? That if I get only one volunteer, I let the group know that there's only been one volunteer, who it is, and then as long as there's no objection, that person's it. If I get more than one volunteer, then I ask Glenn to set up the voting process. And if I get no volunteers, then I come back to the group and say, hey, we need to follow Tim's idea and do some outreach. Any objection to following that process? Okay, thanks. We'll move on. Thank you very much. Next issue is the status update. And basically on the list have ICANN board, except for the GNSO improvements restructuring, which is a topic of its own. Wait a second. And then we had a motion on that. I'm wondering if we should actually do that before the rest of the status also. Any comment on that?
No, that's a good idea. Let's do motions first.
Okay, so I wasn't sure at this point when I put together the schedule originally whether this motion was going to be ready to be voted on, but after this point I think it is. So can we start with Denise, can you give us an update on the Janus Improvement board decisions regarding restructuring? I know you sent out the email to the council and the liaison list yesterday, but if you could start, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
The board met on September 30th, October 1st, and spent most of the meeting again discussing GNSO restructuring issues. And I've outlined the draft resolution, which is posted on the board meeting website, in an email to the council list with the related action items. And I'll run through it quickly, and I'm happy to answer questions. The board adopted the GNSO working group recommendations on electing a council chair. They also asked the GNSO to consider the need for a backup plan in the event that the balloting does not yield a chair. And that would be an issue to address and follow up improvement implementation work. On board seats, the board asked for more community discussion and input on this issue, and staff will be shortly circulating the outstanding questions and issues that the board and general counsel has about this recommendation in the working group's report. The board adopted all of the voting thresholds proposed by the GNSO working group, and in addition asked the GNSO to consider whether any additional voting thresholds or clarifications might be needed as it moves towards implementing the GNSO improvement recommendations. The action there is for the GNSO to incorporate any changes that might be necessary in their improvement work. For new and existing constituencies, the board acknowledged the staff development of a process and notice of intent document for potential new constituencies to use, and also asked staff to work with existing constituencies to help them meet the board directive to submit for renewal to the board. We have circulated a notice of intent and a template for new constituencies to use. Any comments that people have on that, we would appreciate receiving, and staff will collect them and share them with the community. And we'll also be sending out initial draft templates that constituencies may want to use for this new renewal process, and would be happy to support additional community discussion of that as well. On stakeholder groups, the board reinforced its support for the principles that have been articulated in the Board Governance Committee GNSO Improvements Report, and reinforce those principles in its resolution, including the need to better represent the wide variety of groups and individuals that compose the global ICANN community, and also the inclusion of new actors or participants where applicable, and expansion of constituencies within stakeholder groups where applicable. Staff was directed to work with the community to develop a process to support the establishment of new stakeholder groups, and directed that each stakeholder group submit for the board's consideration by the Mexico City ICANN meeting plan for approval for each stakeholder group. In the event that a stakeholder group plan is not approved by the board will consider the need for interim action to fill those new council seats. Regarding the role and representation of users, on this point as well, the board requested additional community discussion and input on the appropriate role and representation of individual internet users in both commercial and non-commercial sectors of the TNSS structure. Staff will be issuing a public comment solicitation and additional background information for the community, and we'll be providing this to the council and all constituencies as well as advisory committees. On the implementation of council restructuring, the board amended its previous timetable and directed that the transition to the new bicameral voting structure takes place over a phased implementation schedule that begins immediately and ends in June 2009 with the seating of the new council. The implementation phases include phase one, which would be a council restructuring implementation plan submitted to the board in advance of the December meeting. And I wanted to clarify here that that the board is referring to the basic actions and timelines of achieving the full transition to the new bicameral voting structure. They are not referring to the GNSO implementation plan, which the council has used that term to refer to the proposed GNSO structure that will be created to start to work on the overall implementation improvements report. Phase two is the existing constituencies submit confirmation documents to the board for review and renewal in advance of the February 2009 board meeting. Phase three is stakeholder groups submit formal plans for board approval for consideration at the ICANN Mexico City board meeting. And phase four is stakeholder groups with plans that are approved by the board select council representatives, and the newly structured GNSO Council was seated by the Asia-Pacific ICANN meeting in June 2009. And the action item on that is for the GNSO to develop the restructuring implementation plan for the board. The draft resolution on all these points is posted on the board meeting website and has been emailed to the council list. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Philip?
Philip, anyone else? Go ahead, Philip.
Please, I'm a little confused between the difference between a constituency and a stakeholder group. I see there are different descriptions in terms of formation of both new constituencies and new stakeholder groups. There's a different phasing for approval by the board of constituencies and stakeholder groups. Now, my understanding at the moment is that the registry is a constituency and also a stakeholder group. The registrars are a constituency and a stakeholder group. The NCUC is talking about expanding as a constituency and is also a stakeholder group. So the only meaningful difference between constituencies that we have today and stakeholder groups is the commercial stakeholder groups, which comprise three constituencies. Is that also your understanding? And is this bizarre situation that you think fully understood by every member of the board?
No, that's not my understanding.
Then, even technically.
Sure, the constituencies are defined in the bylaws, and stakeholder groups, the four stakeholder groups indicated by the board are comprised of constituencies. Currently, on the contracted party side, there is a registry constituency that will be the sole constituency, and the registry stakeholder group, and the same for the registrars. If over time there are additional contracted parties within ICANN, perhaps just theoretically in the IDN area, for example, they would be accommodated in one of those stakeholder groups. On the non-contracted party side, the stakeholder groups for commercial and non-commercial, you know, would serve as umbrella entities for constituencies within each group. The non-commercial user constituency is currently a constituency and not a stakeholder group, and of course the same holds for the constituencies in the commercial sector. Clearly there's additional work and discussion and proposals that need to occur to define in detail how the stakeholder groups will be structured, what processes and procedures they'll use, and how they relate to the constituency groups. That's part of the work that needs to occur going forward.
Any other comments?
Yeah, this is Robin. I have a question.
Okay, Robin, anyone else want to be on the queue?
Chuck.
Chuck, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, this is a sort of a follow-up to Philip's question here on constituencies versus stakeholder groups and how they fit together and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to confirm that it is no longer part of the plan, of the staff plan, to try to tie council seats to constituencies, that the council seats go to the stakeholder group and not the individual constituencies. That's your understanding as well, isn't that right, Denise?
Yes. I mean, each stakeholder group is part of their stakeholder group proposal to be submitted to the board, would presumably would include their plan and process for populating the board seats.
Thank you.
Chuck?
Yeah, I just wanted to share some of my initial thinking from the registry's perspective. We've talked about this just preliminary within the registry's. But one of the things that I think is possible is that registries under contract with ICANN, including new ones that come on board, or even existing ones right now, could decide to form a separate constituency, another registry constituency. So what we're anticipating doing is developing a proposal for the registry stakeholder group with the anticipation that there could be several registry constituencies in the future. Whether or not that ends up happening or not, we can't predict, but we feel like we need to prepare for that eventuality because it is a possibility.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
As part of this, has there been any discussion of taking the current one and dividing it into groups, or is that not being discussed?
It hasn't been discussed yet. That it certainly is a possibility that that could happen. So what I envision us trying to do, if this is consistent with the board's recommendations, is developing a stakeholder group charter and plan with the assumption that it could involve multiple constituencies. Separate from that, the existing registry constituency would revise its articles of operation however it seems necessary to fit into that broader stakeholder group model. Now, it's still possible that in the near term or maybe even long term, who knows, that there could just be one constituency. But we think, based on our understanding of the board recommendations, that it's incumbent upon us to assume the possibility of more than one constituency in the future and to develop the stakeholder group model in that regard, which would be distinct from the existing registry constituency. Did I answer your question, Aubrey?
Yes, thank you. Any other comments, questions for Denise before we move on to the plan itself? Okay, thank you, Denise.
Welcome.
Okay, moving on to the plan itself. We have basically two motions. Well, actually, we have a motion, and we have an amendment. First of all, let me talk about the motion. The motion that we have, which is made by Chuck and I seconded, is basically take the work of the planning team and approve it and start getting things in place. I'll read the motion before we get to the point of voting on it. The amendment that I proposed and Chuck had seconded is basically become a three-part motion. The first part was the one that I originally put in, which was about the inclusion of constituencies in formation. And I'm using that term specifically, among the other participants in the OSC, Operations Standing Committee. And that basically this was with the implication that there is a process that these people have gone through and are in the final stages of consideration. This has yet to be defined, but in my mind, for example, they could have already been approved by the SG, but not yet approved by the board, because the board at the moment holds final confirmation. Or there may be some process before that, like they've finished charter, they have a long list of members, etc. They've still fulfilled a laundry list of requirements and are now being considered by the stakeholder group. And I'm not trying to predetermine what that criteria is. That's for something for the OSC to figure out. But that there should be some definite material criteria, objective criteria, that defines one of these constituencies in formation. But once they hit that point, then they can participate as observers. The discussion on what it meant to participate as an observer brought open questions in terms of working with the full consensus process, and so I've recommended two other amendments too, and these were based on the conversation online with Christina, that we amend from decisions being made using a full consensus process to a full consensus of the members process, just to get rid of that bit of ambiguity. Mm-hmm. And it'll function for anyone that was going to ask how. In the IDNC, for example, we, Edmund, and I certainly, I'm not sure about Edmund, but I certainly participated only as an observer and was not part. So it really didn't matter whether I agreed or not in the end. So they let me talk and put in my opposing view up until the last minute. But when it came to consensus, the fact that I still disagreed was totally meaningless. They had their consensus. And that's sort of the way it would work, in the way I'm describing it. Is they get to talk, they get to express opinions, but when it comes to making the decisions, once they've spoken their piece, they've spoken their piece. So that's that. Are there any questions before I read the amendment, which we would need to vote on before the motion?
Well, I might have discussed the amendment.
Okay, certainly. So I'll read the amendment, and then we can discuss it. Okay, the motion, first, motion one, in section members of the PPSC on page 9 of the GNSL Improvements Plan modify, unless otherwise determined by PPSC members, committee decisions will be made using full consensus process to unless otherwise determined by the PPSC members, committee decisions will be made using a full consensus of the members' process. Two, in the section on members of the OSC on page 12 of the GNSO Improvement Plan, modify, unless otherwise determined by the OSC members, committee decisions will be made using a full consensus process. Two, unless otherwise determined by the OSC members, committee decisions will be made using a full consensus of the members' process. And then third, in the section, other participants in the OSC on page 12 of the GNSO Improvement Plan, add one representative from any constituencies in formation formally involved in the process of applying for inclusion in one of the GNSO stakeholder groups. The definition of the new constituency process should include the requirements that need to be met to achieve this status. And that's the end of the amendment. And Philip, I have you first. Anyone else?
Tim?
Tim, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Philip.
Thanks, Avery. I've got no problem with the first two amendments. They're simple clarifications. The third point, we discussed specifically on the group that did the work on this. The result of our discussion, which I thought had been almost unanimous, was not to have constituent information, and that was not because we wanted to exclude anybody, but because of, well, two things. One of which was it was introducing uncertainty, it may bring people late into a process, and therefore delay outcome rather than expedite it. And secondly, because the criteria that you're suggesting here as to when does it reach a certain threshold that it qualifies, rather than being a certain process like the board approving new constituency, therefore they're in, end of story, is a process yet to be defined. So you're not only introducing uncertainty, but the amendment is actually adding additional unnecessary work to the work of the steering groups themselves. And I think it was for those two reasons we felt that we'd just rather get on with the job, make it as clean and simple as possible, and therefore not have that part there in terms of a formal process. Naturally, if that happens and people have got things to say, they can say that to us in all sorts of different ways, and that input could be taken on board. But it seems unnecessary and uncertain. So I hope we still think that, certainly those of us who are involved in the earlier group.
Okay, Tim, do you mind if I make one response to that before coming to you?
Not at all.
Okay. Yes, I was part of that drafting team, and as I mentioned in one of the papers, in the next to last version of that, that was still considered part of the proposal. In the last meeting, which I wasn't able to attend, and therefore not able to sort of argue a position on it, was when it was removed, and therefore it was the reason that I brought it back up to the council as a whole to consider. But indeed, you're correct, and you know, but it was there until the next to last version of the draft.
I don't have any issue with changing from full consensus to full consensus for the members. My question is about the full consensus requirement itself, and just to make sure that I have the right understanding. So full consensus is required, it says, unless otherwise determined by the members. Of course, in order to do that, there would need to be full consensus of the members that something doesn't need full consensus. So my concern about that is, I think that's fine. My concern about it is that, you know, if there's something that the members feel they're not going to be able to get full consensus on or don't need it, that might make it difficult for all the members to agree in the first place that they can do away with that requirement. So what I want to make sure is that this could come back to the council as a whole and be modified if necessary, based on the concerns that full consensus isn't working in some particular case. Is that pretty much the understanding?
I believe that everything in the standing committees and all of its charters can then come back to the council for discussion. And I would think that, just to add an opinion, that the way the group deciding up front is basically before getting very far down, whoever is acting as coordinator or chair of the standing committee would basically recommend that on this one we want to consider whether, you know, or we have to make a decision quickly, therefore we should consider following another procedure. You're obviously right. Once you got to the point where everybody's been at loggerheads for a month deciding and to unanimously decide that a partial that a rough consensus is okay would be hard to achieve.
Right. And then just one other quick question. The plan makes it clear that in order to remove a member from a team or from one of the committees, it requires the GMSO Council's approval. But in point three now that we're adding, the representative from constituencies in formation, is there a committee level ability to say, that an observer is disruptive and will they be able to bar an observer from participating? Or will that also have to come back to the council?
I don't think we said anything on that for any participant. I would tend to think that any, and this is just personal opinion, that any removal of somebody from anything is the kind of thing that needs to be confirmed at the council level. I even think that with the working groups we have now, if the chair wanted to kick someone out as part of the status of that, we would have to discuss it at the council level so that there's always an appeal to doing something to someone. But that's just a personal opinion. I don't think we've actually discussed that issue anywhere. Anyone else want to comment?
A quick comment on past history. I thought the normal process was that we delegated the authority to the working group chair to suspend somebody, and if there was an appeal, that went to council. I think that's the way it worked, just for practical reasons.
Okay, yeah, you're right. And that does make sense. I don't think that's currently in the plan. I don't think we've worried about that. I think that's certainly something that we can add later, unless somebody wants to propose an amendment to the plan now. But we'd have to figure out exactly where to put that. Any other comments on...
I wasn't suggesting it needs to be amended now. We just wanted to make it clear. If Philip's explanation is the understanding, then I think we're fine for that.
And if that understanding falls apart, then we can always amend things.
Right.
Okay, any other comments on this amendment before I call for a vote on it?
This is Zahid. I had a question.
Sure, certainly.
This is a point that I made on the last conference call. Looking at page 9 and page 12, which is the membership of the PPSC and the membership of the OSC, and I'm looking at the membership part, and I'm seeing that it says one representative from each constituency. And it says this both in the membership of the PPSC and in the membership of the OSC. Only the membership of the PPSC, it says, representative from each constituency bracket need not be a council member. This bracket need not be a council member does not appear in the membership of the OSC. And I think last time when we discussed this, it was apparently a typo. It hasn't appeared in the updated version that we're looking at today. I'm just querying... Is that deliberate, or that's my first question?
I believe that's oversight.
I would confirm that as the chair of the planning committee, that it was an oversight. It should be in both. Good catch.
This is maybe me being nitpicking, but if you compare both those sections, you also see when it says nominating committee, in one it says nominate non-com appointee, and then it says it's a different language in the one and the other. You may want to just look at that one. My only other question was, we're, through this amendment, adding in membership of the OSC, the one representative from any constituency in formation. I was off the call for a little while. if we're going to have that in the OSC, what is the logic for not having it in the PTSD, or the other way around? I mean, if we're going to make an amendment in one, why aren't we making an amendment in the other? Or, you know, is there something I missed on the call earlier?
Right. Okay. Yeah. I basically was asked the same thing by Chuck when I proposed the amendment, and the response I had is that the OSC is the group that is determining the conditions under which a constituency operates. And so it controls the rules about what it means to be a constituency, how constituencies work, and so and how the mechanisms work. And that's where I thought it was important from a openness participatory view. The other one is basically working on defining how working group works and how the policy definition, I mean the policy development process works. And I thought that those were, first of all, things that were going to be much more front-loaded, and then after that were going to be more tweaking and fixing if that standing committee stood. But much less effect to the actual existence of a constituency within the council.
Could I
so that's why I thought it was important in one place and not really important in another.
Aubrey, could I add something there?
Certainly.
I think it's really important to remember that the proposed charters for the steering committees are not really to do the work of developing criteria for constituencies, et cetera. One of the teams suggested for the OSC is a constituency operations team, and the intent really is that the development of constituency criteria, et cetera, in response mm-hmm. to the board's recommendations would really happen at the working team level rather than at the steering committee, and it would flow up to the council through the steering committee, and the steering committee could actually send it back to the working team. But I think it's really important that we separate those and not think of the steering committees as the working teams,
right.
Rather as coordinating steering teams. That's why the word steering is used.
Right. Well, actually, they're standing committees. But in terms of that, I think the
we moved away from the term standing.
Okay, to steering, whatever. Okay. What I had argued is they're still the ones creating charters and clarifying charters, and that was a significant activity.
Charters for the working teams, yes.
And so therefore it was still a significant thing, but yeah. Any further conversation on the amendment still? We still have open conversation on the improvement plan itself.
Yeah, Avery, just a process suggestion. Why don't we take a voice vote on Amendments 1 and 2 and then a roll call vote on Amendment 3?
Well, a question, are 1 and 2 even needed if we don't do 3?
I don't personally think they were ever really needed. It's just that if we did 3, we wanted to make sure that there was no confusion.
Right, that's my point.
Philip, do you feel there's a need to divide the question up? Do we need these amendments if we're not allowing constituencies in formation?
Really, the real question, I'm sorry, this is Tim. The real issue is 3, right? I mean,
the real issue
is
3, right.
Right.
The other two were added just to make sure that those constituencies in formation did not have a role in the consensus.
So it seems to me we just need to focus on 3, and if 3 fails, then 1 and 2 become moot.
Unless somebody believes that we need 1 and 2 just because we need them.
Correct. I mean, that would be fine.
And I'm fine with dividing the question if Philip believes that that's useful.
No, I'm happy to go to taking 3 first if that's quicker.
Right, and then 3, and then it carries along 1 and 2, and then if it's voted down, it's voted down, and we don't. Now, we don't need an amendment, I don't believe, to accept, and we'll do that later, the fixing of the typos, or the ones that Jamil brought up. Okay. So, any other question before I call for a roll call vote on this one? In which case, Glenn, could you do a roll call on the amendment? This is a motion on amending GNSO Improvement Plan membership in OSC.
That is the one that is on the wiki.
Right, and we need a majority for the amendment to pass.
Fine, so it's the amendment.
Yes, at the vote, we vote for the amendment first.
Philip Shepherd.
Against.
Zahid Jamil.
Against.
Uta Deka.
Support.
Christina Rosette. Christina?
She was going to have to drop off early and may have had, I'll check the...
She has disconnected, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cyril Chua?
Support.
Tony Holmes?
Again.
Tony Harris?
Again.
Greg Ruth?
Again.
Robin Gross?
Again.
Norbert Klein?
Again.
Carlos Souza?
Yes.
You support it?
Yes, I think that's what he said. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Adrian Kinderus? Adrian? Tim Ruiz?
Against.
Chuck Gomes.
Support.
Edmund Chun.
Support.
Avery Doria.
Support.
Olga Cavelli.
Support.
Do we have Adrian still?
He's showing still on the site, but we're obviously not hearing from him.
Okay.
Aubrey, can I just make a comment?
Yes.
The problem I have is that it seems like it's the cart before the horse. I mean, it isn't clear to me how this will happen, given that we don't really have anything in place. So it seems like until something in place that defines constituency formation will further down the road, it seems like this is just premature.
Well, it requires that those things be defined, that the criteria be defined. So yeah, it's a cart that's requiring we get a horse.
Right, right.
We've got 9 supporting and 9 non-supporting. Is there somebody perhaps that
didn't vote? Otherwise, if we don't have Adrian voting,
Adrian,
or someone that didn't vote, then we have a tie, in which case it falls. Okay, if Adrian is not responding and everyone else voted, the amendment falls. Okay, thanks. Let's now move on to the amendment.
Avery, I'm really sorry. It's Cyril here. I've been kicked on the call the 6th time today, and I do not know what's the result of the voting.
Okay, the voting was 9-9. And so it's even. So is there any objection to Cyril getting his vote in without us knowing what the vote is yet?
No, I voted, but I didn't know the result.
Oh, you did vote. Okay, the result is 9-9.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, so so moving on, we have the plan itself. Now we have three typos that need to be fixed. In that plan, and they were minor. Do we need to? I guess we have the motion. I should probably read the motion. Motion on GNSO Improvement Plan. Motion made by Chuck, and I've seconded. Where is the ICANN Board in Resolution 2080215.03 directed the ICANN staff to draft a detailed implementation plan in consultation with the GNSO? Point, such a plan was developed by the planning team composed of staff and GNSO members working jointly and in cooperation. the ICANN board in resolution 2008-06-26.13 endorsed the recommendations of the Board Governance Committee GNSO Review Working Group. The ICANN board in its meeting on 1 October 2008 approved resolution 6-15 relating to the recommendations of the Board Governance Committee GNSO Working Group and the specific topic on GNSO Council restructuring. Resolved. The GNSO will develop a plan for GNSO Council restructuring implementation that is separate and distinct from the GNSO Improvement Implementation Plan as directed in Resolution 2008.10.01.15. The GNSO Council approves the framework defined in the GNSO Improvements Implementation Plan dated 24 September 2008 as prepared by the GNSO Improvements Planning Team as documented in, and we need to insert the document location, but this will be the document location of the one with the typo 6. The GNSO Council requests that constituencies, NOMCOM appointees, the ALAC, and GAC identify representatives to serve in the two steering committees as defined in the plan by 24 October 2008, if possible, but not later than 31 October. Kickoff meetings of the steering committees to be held during the ICANN meeting in Cairo, 17 October 2008, with teleconference capability for any who may not be able to attend in person. So I open the floor to discussion on the motion. And as I say, it will include the errata that were pointed out earlier. Is there any conversation on this at the moment?
And the Cairo meeting is in November, not in October.
Thank you. I will fix that immediately. Okay, mistake I didn't make. Okay. So any discussion on this? Does this require... or does anybody object to doing this by a voice vote? If no one objects to doing it by a voice vote, all those in support of the motion, yes?
I'm sorry, that was on mute. Just a quick observation about the plan in general, and it's probably maybe something obvious, but there's a lot of interdependencies within the plan. Just as we go forward and begin to schedule things, I think we just need to keep that in mind so that, you know, there's an understanding that certain work may not be able to be completed without other work.
Yes. And that's where it keeps coming back to the council, et cetera, because... Okay. Any other comments? And as you were on mute, I just wanted to repeat the question. Was there any objection to doing this by a voice vote? Hearing no objection of doing this by a voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. It is passed unanimously. Fantastic. We're off and running. Okay, so therefore, people have to start getting their representatives for these committees ready. Okay, going back to the agenda now. We've got a half hour left. The next thing on the agenda is now the status update. We have no other motions to vote on. We can update to people on what's still on the agenda. We have status updates. We have the Who Is Hypothesis study to start getting the constituency feedback and talk about the next step, a sort discussion, not substantive, and then planning for Cairo with one substantive issue about taking votes in the meeting. And, okay, so going through the status items, the first thing I've got is ICANN board, except, of course, for what's already been discussed. Denise? Are you on mute?
Yes. Yep, sorry about that. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, I just need to get my board list up. So as I noted, although the minutes for this board meeting are not yet posted, they do have the draft resolution posted, and I'll quickly run through the key action items the board took in addition to the decisions on GNSO Council restructuring. they approved a director's code of conduct that was previously posted for public comment. They also approved a procedure for de-accredited registrar transition procedure that staff will now implement and periodically evaluate for effectiveness. They approved a contractor consulting agreement regarding the multiple language algorithm relating to the new GTLD implementation process. They also approved the terms of reference, charters, and working groups for the independent review of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. They approved a consultant to serve as an independent evaluator for the Root Server System Advisory Committee. That will be Westlake Consulting, and they will start immediately and be working in Cairo. They deferred action on the RCEP proposal from .coop and .mobi relating to single character second level domain, and they authorized travel for the President's Strategy Committee members. Happy to answer any questions, and again, this is posted online on the board meeting website webpage.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, I heard somebody in the background, but I don't. No one has a question. Okay, thank you, Denise. Moving on, South Flux Working Group. It had a minor. I'll give the status on that one. It had a minor collapse, and basically the chair sort of quit in frustration. So basically, what happened on that is, after consulting with various members of the group, with the staff working on it, with the past chair, and with Mike, who's the council liaison, we decided that I would take over as temporary chair to basically try and bring the document that they've currently got almost finished to a complete point. That in doing that, we would take all issues of whether the charter was valid or not off the table and bring those back to the council once this report was done, that this, in refinishing this report, we weren't going to bring up a lot of new content, but basically just try to get a very accurate snapshot of what's been going on, what's been discussed, and levels of support on various statements. So basically, it's as short as I can make it, interim chair, to finish up the current report, then come back to the council with that report, with any recommendations that the members of the group want to make about future working group charters or whatever. But basically, and at that point, we would need to find a new chair. As I say, I'm only doing as an interim. So basically, that's some reporting, and want to also just make sure that there's no objection. I had written that in a note to the council list, and got no objection. But I also just want to make sure in this meeting that there's no objection to the process that I'm following to bring that to a snapshot conclusion, at which point we can, as a council, decide how to move on. Any questions on that?
Probably, Philip, just yes. One. Thank you for stepping in to that. I'm a great one in believing that you learn more from failure than you do from success. Could we perhaps direct one member of our policy staff to follow up with the resigned chair to learn a bit more about his reasoning, his frustrations, etc., what went wrong, so that we can see if there are any learning points there, not personally, but more generally, in a way that we look at the nature of the job, etc., and feedback that could very usefully go to one of our new steering committees.
I think that's really good. I think the part of that already exists that he has has detailed some of it, but I think asking a member of the policy staff to do that. I also, one of the things that, as I said, I don't want this group to talk about it until we finish the substantive work, is we will be pulling together in their commentary about the charter and the future, we'll be collecting that kind of comment from anyone in the group that wants to supply it, so that we get not only the chair's frustrations and things, but what other people saw, including some of those that were seen as the difficult parts to work with. So, yeah, I totally agree, and I think we're already in the process of starting to collect that, but I think that's a very good suggestion. And I'll ask, and actually I would probably ask one of the neutral, one of the policy staff who was not involved in the whole process intimately to do that, you know, and, you know, maybe I can talk to Denise later and we can figure out who would be a good person to do it if you have a suggestion. I'd prefer not to sick the policy person that was part of the whole discussion in it just because she's busy enough anyway. Anyway, okay. Any other questions or suggestions on that? Okay. On the inter-register transfer policy, Part A PDP, I basically got sent a quick one-liner status. The IRTP working group meeting of yesterday was canceled, as most participants were attending the APWG annual meeting, so no further updates. The draft initial report is expected to be circulated by the working group coming Friday. I checked the new GTLD implementation team had no new status, and I don't know if there's anything that anybody that's here on the call wants to add to that.
I'd like to ask a question, Tony Harris. It was my understanding from Kurt Pritz's comments recently that there would be a draft RFP available on new GTLDs before Cairo, giving us time to prepare comments for the Cairo meeting. Is that a fact, or did I misunderstand?
Aubrey, this is Kurt. Can I talk?
Please.
Okay. Yes, a very brief update is there will be an RFP available. It's scheduled to be released next week. Leading up to that, there'll be a series of publications before and prior to it, so there'll be quite a few postings. Starting today, I think there'll be an announcement on the ICANN site that the RFP or the applicant guidebook will be posted shortly. And then there's a series of brief papers that annotate the RFP or describe the process by which certain aspects were concluded. So there'll be a series of papers before and after, before and coincident with the release of the RFP. So that's one thing, and the only other thing I wanted to take advantage of on this call was that there'll be several new GTLD sessions in Cairo. The first will be with the GNSO itself on Saturday. There'll be a couple, new GTLD 101 sessions, one in English and one in Arabic. There'll be a session on Monday that describes the RFP, and then another session on Monday that where staff will support in whatever ways determined the cross SLAC meeting, and new GTLDs aren't on the agenda for that for 1 hour. So I think there'll be lots of comments and questions, and not enough time in public fora for that. So I'd ask you to use all those fora for listening and making comments.
Thank you, Kurt.
Now, this is Tim. Can I just also ask about the Cray International report? Is the same true of that timing wise?
Yeah, so that should be released at least coincident with the RFP.
Okay, any other questions before moving on? Okay, thank you. Fast track, I got a quick one-line update. Was that the RFIs are being received and will be made public later. So in other words, they're starting to collect the responses to those who are interested, and I guess there'll be a, once all are in, they will be releasing that information. I don't have anything more on that. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything or a question. and whether we have someone here that can answer. But okay, on the AGP, I don't know if there was anything new to add this week. My assumption was that there wasn't, but I didn't get any formal news that there was. Is there anything to add?
Hi, Aubrey. It's Craig.
Hi, Craig.
What I can let you know is that a draft of the implementation plan was circulated midweek last week to the registries and registrars for additional comments and input, and it's expected that the draft plan and the policy will be posted early next week for public comment.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, moving on. Cairo Travel Funding. We approved making expenditures under the GNSO budget for two council members who were partially funded by virtue of being members of the nominating committee. And basically, this is a report for Glenn to give us an update on the expenditures themselves. Glenn?
The meeting planner has advised that the per diem rate is $80 per day and the hotel rooms are $250 per night. So the proposed amount to be spent on partial support for two council members, Uta Decker and Greg Ruth, also nominating committee delegates to attend the Cairo meeting, is a per diem amount of 80 by 6 days, which comes to, that is from Friday the 31st of October to Wednesday the 5th of November, which is 480 per person times 2, that's 960 per diem. And then the hotel accommodation for the same period, Friday the 31st of October to Wednesday the 5th November, at $250 per night for two people, brings it to $3,000, and the total amount spent will be $3,960, if that's right. And this will come out of the DNSO funds, which currently stand at $19,964.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much. The next thing was quickly, since there were action items listed from the meeting of September. One, council representatives were asked the board recommended GNSO comments regarding the I-Plan Geographic Regions Report. That obviously happened and we voted on it. Two, council representatives were asked to distribute the updated draft GNSO Improvements Implementation Plan, expedite discussions in their constituencies, and be prepared to vote on a motion. They were prepared. In addition, constituencies should be starting the process of selecting one representative each for the two steering committees so that this first steering committee meeting can be held in Cairo. So that's a pending activity, and I hope people are still working on that one. Three, constituencies should call for volunteers for a drafting team to develop a proposal for consideration by council for ICANN subsidization of GNSO travel expenses. I know that that working group had its first meeting. Four, the council should forward the Who Is Hypothesis Study report to the respective constituencies ASAP for discussion and comment as applicable. And I'm assuming that that's happened. We do have the Who Is Hypothesis Study group on the agenda after our next thing. So I just wanted to come to those things. Now we're at the point where I need to ask, we have to have a front-running update, which was the staff asked to make confidentially. So I'd like to ask, I don't know if the operator is on, if we could go into non-recording mode at this point.
It's not recording again.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on with the next item is the Who Is Hypothesis Group. Now, you'll see once we get through the rough agendas, if we get to the rough agendas, that a fair amount of time has been put in for Who Is, both on the weekend, and I have it as a discussion topic for the Wednesday public meeting. At the moment, though, we're looking on basically how it's going with constituency feedback. And just I wanted to mention the next steps, which I've just mentioned. But so is how they're going constituency-wise. Do people want to speak briefly?
You can put Chuck in the queue, please.
Okay, Chuck.
And Liz.
Liz. Go ahead, Chuck.
The registry constituency is going through a fairly detailed analytical approach to the hypotheses and anticipates having a detailed set of recommendations for deciding which studies to perform sent to the council on the 29th of October. It's a fairly involved process. That's why it's taking us time. A draft has been prepared and is now being reviewed by the full constituency, and our next meeting is on the 29th. The goal would be then to send that to the council list, and then would be happy to do an overview of that in our, I think, Saturday discussion of the who is studies there. And I would hope that other constituencies that have input would do a similar thing before that Saturday meeting, so that we could hopefully start discussing how to proceed on evaluating studies.
Okay, thank you. Liz?
Just to say that staff did forward the request to both the GAC and the ALAC. The ALAC has approved a statement on the studies as of the day before yesterday, and I'll distribute the link today. And the GAC did respond as well, just with a statement that their earlier recommendations of 16 April, you know, characterized totally what their view, their permanent view of what should proceed with the studies. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else want to comment at the moment? As I say, basically have a session down, planning on about 2 hours worth of who is on the Saturday. Not quite sure of exact schedules yet, but I'll get into that shortly. Any other constituency have an update to give? No? Okay. Hopefully all the constituencies are working on this. It's kind of good if we can bring this down to some sort of next step in Cairo. And move forward with this one way or another. Okay, going to the agendas, and very rough agendas. So for Saturday at the moment, and still things aren't quite gelled yet in terms of time, but it's getting closer because we're still trying to find out when who is available. So we are planning to start the day with the GNSO improvements restructuring and basically a brief meeting of council and members of these two committees together, and then we've asked for the ability to split so that each of the committees can go away and have their first hour organizational meeting in terms of just figuring out how they want to work, elect a chair, do whatever it is they need to do to get themselves started, you know, and then perhaps they'll find other times for meeting either while we're in Cairo, but basically wanted to get, so that'll be Saturday morning. Then we've got a meeting with the board working group on the ALAC review. Well, actually, I'm not wait a second, I just got that wrong. We had the GNSO improvements and restructuring. Actually, I think that what I just said is on Sunday. What I had based on Saturday was something that if we hadn't managed to approve the meeting today, then we would have to do something. We have a meeting with the board working group on ALAC review. We have who is review proposals and constituency feedback, and we have new GTLD implementation details and discussion in the afternoon. Going to the second, I should bring this up in a quicker way. Sorry, give me a second. My machine is working very slowly.
Aubrey, is there flexibility if the who is discussion doesn't take as long as you have slotted for us to get more time on new GTLDs?
That will really depend on the availability of the staff and you know, I can definitely check.
And that's why I'm bringing that up now.
Right.
I think it would be good if we could start the new GTLD implementation details.
Right after lunch.
Yeah.
I support that.
It's just I want to make sure that there's also enough time on the... that there's enough time on the who is to make sure that, that it's getting full time.
I understand, and maybe I understand. I just think that I mean new GTLD is going to be huge, and an hour and a half is or 2.5 hours might be
right. 2.5, and certainly if we can start earlier, and I'll certainly ask, you know. But I also know that they have fairly tight schedules, and they'll be talking to lots of people. But I'll see what we can do. So the Sunday agenda at the moment is what I just said earlier about the GNSO council meeting together and then going off into the separate standing committees. That's Sunday morning, not Saturday morning. Then we're going to have a fast flux discussion and partial working group meeting with the council just on where things are at and what the issues are. I'm scheduling, I've talked to Steve on having a discussion with EDSAC on various topics, specifically the who is topics that they brought up in terms of asking us to take a look at some stuff and such, but any other issues that we come up with, and we'll have to come up with an intermediate discussion. Perhaps there's some fast flux comment from EDSAC. So I'm going to try and put the fast flux and the EDSAC discussions close together. There'll be an IRTP Part A discussion, and there'll be a GAC and board meeting prep. For the GAC and GNSO, only 1 hour has been formally scheduled at the end of their scheduled day. However, in conversation with Giannis, we basically said, and if the meetings are like they have been in the past where nobody really says anything, an hour will be fine. If we do get into any interesting conversations, we can keep going because it's the last thing on their schedule for the day. And so it's scheduled, I guess, 5 to 6, which is the end of their formal day, but we have the ability to go forward if we find we're really getting into substantive discussions. But of course, we also have the ACSO joint meeting the following day. So the three topics that are on the table are the who is studies, any feedback or issues to do with their issues on the PSC, and any issues that we might have on the PSC, and see whether we're in harmony on our views of the PSC report, and then issues in new GTLD and IDN CCT implementation, and the specific issue that, of course, comes up there is the separation in views between the GNSO's policy statement on geographic names and the GAC's comment to the board on geographic names. And, of course, that'll be a discussion topic on Monday as well.
Aubrey, two of those items are clearly very useful issues to talk with the GAC, the who is, and the new GTLDs, IDNs, et cetera. It's not clear to me that, since we only have an hour, that the PSC report's going to be one that is really useful there, and there will be other venues.
That's important to them for some reason. That was one they asked to have there, so they may have things they want to say to us.
So they suggested that. That's
what. Yes, I didn't suggest PSC at all. In fact,
okay.
I went, huh? Like
that's
you
fine.
Did. But that was one, and when I reviewed it with, it seemed so it's there, and we have nothing to say, so it's really looking for their feedback on it.
Right.
I mean, I know there are things that individuals care about from the GNSO, but we haven't as a council discussed it even.
That's fine.
Okay, and then the board dinner, there's basically two candidate topics at the moment. One is the whole issue surrounding restructuring, which of course is a very open topic, and the other one is treatment of geographic names in new GTLD process. now, both of them good topics. I had one recommendation that we should go for both. One of my feelings is that we kind of talked restructuring last time before they made decisions. So I don't know that I was all that keen on doing the same topic twice. You know, one suggestion I came up with was one could be the main meal topic and one could be the dessert topic. But so that's where we're at on topics. I don't know that we want to spend a lot of time now on it, but certainly on the list be interested on feedback on these two topics, one, the other, or both. Anyone want to comment now? No, okay. Then the Monday meeting, which is the joint, is still coming together. We're supposed to have a meeting between the chairs of the groups plus Bertrand. We haven't had that yet. But basically the main two topics are new TLDs and the transition and the PSE, which, again, as I say, we have not talked about much, and I don't know to what extent it concerns us, but I'm sure to some extent it certainly concerns people. Did I just lose one person or everybody? Anybody still there?
I'm still here.
Yes, you're still here.
Okay. I just, when I said that, because it could have been that everybody had gone and I was the one, or just one person. Okay, for our open meeting, I currently have GNSO improvements and restructuring. Who is decision on studies, for which estimates are requested, and then discussion and feedback on GTLD planning, and I just have a continuation and go further on the GTLD, and then the open mic. Now, the question I have, and we've had, I think it was certainly Philip said it at one point, and others have said it, that they're sort of uncomfortable with the wordsmithing and voting in the public meetings. So one of the possibilities to try was to do all the discussions, all the open discussions, whatever, but not, and even if there are motions, put the motions up there to look at, but not actually do wordsmithing and voting, and to do that on the Thursday meeting when it's a regular council meeting, still open to a, you know, but so that's a question that I've put up. Certainly we can try at this time if no one objects. Anyone want to speak to that?
Barbara, this is Tim.
Tim?
Just a question about one of the items on for the open meeting. It says, who is decisions? I mean, are we going to be ready to make, do you envision
to make
decisions in Cairo?
I guess I'm a little optimistic, but we certainly should have discussion, and it really should be discussion / decisions, and if we can get the decisions on the Thursday about some studies we want to ask them to look into, I think that'd be great. If we can't, then we can't.
And Tim, I'm with you. I think that's unrealistically optimistic.
Okay, so I'll just put discussion certainly in the open meeting, and if we get closer to... Anyway, okay. I take that and I'll change that to discussion. I'll put it actually discussions and feedback just as I had for GTLD planning. Okay, that one's done. Okay, and then the Thursday meeting, there's actually two things on the Thursday.
Do we need to resolve the issue on whether we're going to take votes at the open meeting?
Well, actually, I think we can resolve it, although at the moment I'm not sure we've got anything on there that we're going to need to vote on. But I'm actually recommending, and I'm actually curious to see if anybody objects, that we not, that we experiment this time and not do voting, and any issues that we've got, motions that we've got in place for voting, that we vote on them Thursday.
Avery, should it appear? I know I raised the issue about how we structure the open meetings. The Wednesday is the official day for the council meeting. What we seem to be now saying is that now being relegated to only discussion, and the action's now going to happen on Thursday when we're going to have a real council meeting, which strikes me as completely turning on its head the way that we do business.
Oh, I thought it was your idea.
Well, no, I think my concern was
that we not vote in public and that we not do a voting in those meetings.
No, I think my comments had resulted from the last time when we tried taking an issue at a time and having discussion and then a vote to follow that, which had a certain logic, but my comment related to that. Whereas I think an alternative may be you have a discussion session and then followed by a formal voting session all on the Wednesday.
And separate into two meetings.
Well, Norbert, may I speak?
Yeah, I mean, we're not.
Yeah, I'm getting confused at the moment.
We're still going to have people. Yeah. We're still going to have people there. You know, we're not going to do it in camera. But I think it was just the. I mean, sometimes when you have a need to make a change on the fly, it's probably better to have half an hour where staff can, you know, draft things up properly. Then you have a coffee break, come back, and do the vote. That's
I see. I totally misunderstood.
Simple as I was suggesting.
Okay, I totally misunderstood your comment. Okay, Norbert.
Yeah. What are the reasons? I mean, was it discussed really why not to vote in public or why to vote in public?
No, it wasn't the voting in public. Right. It wasn't the voting in public that I think people really objected to. It was the words of the thing in public.
Yeah, and can I comment there as well?
Right, and
yeah. I mean, the board is voting in public, and that was in my mind when I asked this question.
Oh, yeah, no, it has nothing to do with the voting in public. What I think people...
Okay,
I was totally comfortable with, but I think some people objected to the trying to edit and wordsmith in public, and that looked sort of, you know, problematic to some people. As I say, I thought it was okay, but not everyone did. Yes, Chuck?
Yeah, and
Had you finished, Norbert?
Yeah, finished.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, and I think the point's already been made, but I want to reemphasize it. I think the problem is when there's extensive wordsmithing, and that doesn't work very well in a public meeting, and Philip's suggestion is good, that, you know, it's better to ask staff to go off and do some drafting. Now, minor wordsmithing, I don't think, is a problem. So in cases where there's not major changes to a motion that requires a lot of time to wordsmith, I think it's fine to vote.
Okay, then I guess, as I say, I don't think we actually have any votes on this one between the three items. But then, so if I'm understanding, a way to try and play it is that if we have a motion, we can put it up. If we're ready to vote on it with only minor wordsmithing, we can do it then. Otherwise, we can basically ask the people and the staff to work over the break to fix the voting, and we bring it back after the break. Does that sound like a reasonable approach?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for correcting my understanding. I had totally misunderstood what you were saying. Okay. So then the Thursday meeting ends up what the Thursday meeting always is, which is to sort of replay in our minds the commentary we got and to do our planning for the coming period. And also on the Thursday, I believe there's another one of those joint ACSO workshops. I'm not completely positive of that. I need to look at the, there's the, I think they're doing the PSC report, going further on that. But I haven't had the meeting yet with the chairs there to understand exact structuring of all those joint ACSO meetings.
So there's going to be two of those?
I believe so.
That's what's on the, that's what's on the schedule at the moment.
And I've told Bertrand in that little group that I'm not quite sure I understand what we're doing with the Thursday one yet, and I want to discuss it at our meeting. But at the moment, there is one scheduled for then. It's in the morning, and we're in the afternoon. In terms of the luncheon with the CCNSO, which has been on again, off again, it was Thursday. Now it's tentatively Monday. Trying to get feedback on exactly when it is, and I'll let people know as soon as I know.
Yeah, this is Tim. Did I miss?
Yes.
When the is there a GNSO dinner with the board or?
Yes, that's Sunday in its normal slot.
Sunday.
And as I said, I brought up the issue of there's two topics on the table. One is the whole issue of restructuring again, if there's enough to be talked about there, and one is the issue of geographic names to reserve or to block. That's sort of shortcut. Okay, so that's the rough agenda. Doing a lot of work on it. It's coming close. It should be. The part we're working on now is all the coordination pieces of when we can get who to work with us when on what. And I think we're close. Glenn's been doing a lot of talking to people, trying to get schedules to take. The only other thing we had on the any other business is on the SAC, and Liz was basically going to give us a quick recap of their request regarding who is, and this is one of the things that I want us to be able to discuss with them in face-to-face in Cairo. Liz?
Thanks, Aubrey. So this is just a review of what the FSAC has offered on who is, and particularly related to its recommendation that the council and the community consider migration to a registry or active directory service to replace the current structure of who is. And there are three documents. There's an SAC report in February at SAC 27. There's a SAC report 20 June, SAC 33. And then there's also an email communique that Steve Crocker sent to the council on the 19th of May that's posted on the GNSO site, all on this topic. And essentially what the FSAC is saying is it views the current system as having significant technical shortcomings in the area of authentication, accuracy, confidentiality potentially, and availability that contribute to the poor quality of domain name registration data that's currently available. And while it recognizes in reports that more policy work is needed, it submits that a secure and reliable who is can only be achieved through a combination of policy development and implementation of a standard uniform directory service that would provide authentication and confidentiality and auditing and integrity types of capabilities. And they are particularly citing the IRIS work that has been done, the development of an Internet Registry Information Service protocol. This is the work of the CRISP working group. Essentially, the concerns that they've identified, particularly in the first report, were the need to establish requirements for the administration of registration information, which the FSAC says requires studies on uses and abuses of registration information, what access requirements might be needed, and what kinds of role-based access control models might be needed, pointing at the need for greater accuracy and consideration of these protocols. In the second SAC report, they enumerate the ways in which WHOIS is used today. This is sort of restating from an earlier SAC report 23, and then identifying and explaining the typical features that these kinds of active directory service applications like the IRIS protocol have, in which each database entry is given a unique identity kind of at its root and a defined data schema for each element of data, where there are authentication frameworks that allow for stronger authentication means, the ability for auditing processes to ensure that data is not lost or altered or corrupted in terms of accuracy, and monitoring of availability. So while they're not making specific recommendations in these SAC reports, they are urging further discussion about the need to adopt this directory service model and recommending that further study be done to determine, you know, and explore how these features might really enhance the current operation of who is. What I'd like to also do is quickly discuss the issue of IDNs and who is, which is not addressed in these reports, but where it is suggested that there may be aspects of Active Directories that may be useful. So just briefly on IDNs, the issue is not about the IDN, the main name label itself that's stored in who is. There is a standard for the display of the IDN label itself. But the contact information currently, there is increasing concern that if contact information is provided in local character sets, which will continue to increase as IDNs increase, that this may make it very difficult for the public at large to have the ability to read contact information. It will be perhaps more difficult to determine if information is accurate and complete. And it raises questions of how the information can be displayed or whether it will be displayed in a way that everyone can view. So basically today, the viewing aspect is dependent on how local registrars and registries choose to create the user interface. They could, it is possible for the interface to display multiple character sets, some character sets, or only ASCII, but right now there's no standard protocol for this. So as these IDNs increase the volumes of registrations of them, this may be an increasing issue. And so the question is, and another area of exploration might be the extent to which an Active Directory model might help provide some flexibility or options with regard to the display of contact information in non-ASCII characters. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so basically what it also opens up is possibility for flexibility in terms of policymaking. And policymaking on who is a fairly blunt tool. Policymaking on something like Active Directories becomes a lot more versatile. Does anyone else want to comment? Okay, great.
This is Tim. I just had another, any other business items?
Okay, yeah, that was the next thing I was going to ask. So does anybody have any other business? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, it's probably not something that we can discuss at length right now, but just something I'm concerned about, and that is that certain registries have submitted a plan for release of single character domain names through the funnel process or the registry service process. It appears as though that this is just my own evaluation of this, but it appears as though that's been suspended, so to speak, and there's discussions outside of that now being planned by ICANN to determine, what happens with the money that may be collected from those single character registrations. And in the past, this was part of the GNSO's work, and it's looking at reserve names. But right now it doesn't appear as though any of this discussion is flowing back up to the council level. And I'm wondering if that's okay with us, if that's the way we want to leave that, or if at the very least we want to at least provide comments or be involved in some way with what appears to me to be sort of, it looks like ICANN's treating it as if it's a policy issue. Yet I don't see where the council is involved at all. So I just wanted to put that on the table and see what anyone else thought of that.
Probably worth putting on a discussion. We did talk about it as part of the new GTLD process and that, but we never really decided how to pursue it in terms of existing. And I don't know that we should do much on it now, but I should put it on the agenda for a future conversation. Perhaps I should find a place to put it on the Cairo agenda. Would this be at all an interesting discussion to perhaps fit into the open meeting on Wednesday and just get some discussion going of what the GNSO should be, how the GNSO should be handling this? Is that an unreasonable thing to do?
Not from my perspective, but...
Right. Any objection to my putting this as an item, as a fourth item in that meeting? If there's no objection, I'll put it in there as a discussion item, certainly not a decision item, but a discussion item. Any other items of business?
Aubrey, it's Liz. I have feedback on the CCNSO liaison.
Already?
Yeah, so would you like me to share that?
Sure.
Yeah, I just got a note back from Gabby, so it's great she's online. Basically, what she says is the council, the CCNSO, has telephone conferences once a month, and they do meet, as you say, in each of the face-to-face ICANN meetings for pretty much a full 2 days. But for the most part, it's an hour a month is the minimum. Occasionally, the council will have dedicated workshops at the face-to-face meetings. This may take some extra time. And then it's really up to the observer to decide how much time they might want to dedicate to specific discussions on the council email list. But in her view, this has not been particularly time-consuming, as there are not, you know, typically long discussions going on at least this time. So her estimate is roughly an hour a month is the minimum, with, you know, possible opportunity to increase that if people want, and then the ICANN meetings being a particular challenge.
Okay, what are the 2 days that they use?
What she says is the CCNSO as a whole group meets 2 days during each ICANN meeting. And
that's,
I think,
essentially Tuesday, Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know on Thursday they're already on their way out. Okay, thanks. So to follow up on that item, anybody that's interested in this liaison role, please send me an email. Any other business? Okay. I thank you all for sticking the extra 23 minutes and a very productive meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Benedetta?